Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys? Week number 16. We got 3 weeks left to go here in the regular season. Big matchups. I mean, every matchup starts to weigh more, and it's just so that the schedule is falling that just about every game on the schedule these days has some kind of impact in the playoffs or carries some kind of weight as far as draft position goes and things like that. So, I mean, it's you got the Thursday night game tonight between the Rams and the Saints. That's got playoff implications all over it. If the Saints want to stay in the race for the NFC South or actually get back or just make it into the playoffs, period, there's an outside chance now with 2-7-7 teams that the NFC South, being the worst division in football easily, could still send two teams to the playoffs this year. It's crazy. You got Cincinnati and Pittsburgh this weekend. You've got Indianapolis and Atlanta. That means something for both teams, despite being 6-8. Atlanta still got an outside shot at the division right now because I think next week they play the Saints and the week after they play the Buccaneers or vice versa. They got division games still coming up these last 2 weeks. Let's see. Jacksonville and Tampa Bay, that's a big game. And Kansas City and Vegas, that's more important for Kansas City than it is for Vegas. And in the pick six, huge games all around. San Francisco and Baltimore on Christmas night, Dallas and Miami, Cleveland and Houston, Detroit and Minnesota, all big playoff implications going on there. And if the Vikings win out, they win these next three games, which include two against the Lions, they could be division champs. I mean, that's how all this is going right now. So lots to get to. Let's go ahead and dive right in. This is the Week 16 preview episode of the fourth phase. So let's get to it. Welcome to the fourth phase, presented by Bears Talk Underground and Sports Drink Media. And now, your host, Larry D. You know, it's funny. For a season where we felt like this was an NFL season mired in mediocrity, it's making for a really exciting finish. You know, for all the, you know, when we were talking earlier in the season, how in the AFC, you had to go 11 seeds deep in the playoffs before you got to your first 500 team. And in the NFC, as soon as you're outside the playoffs, now you've got nothing but losing teams outside the playoffs, and it's kind of leveling itself out now. It's like in the AFC, it's only two seeds past the playoffs with the, you know, so the 8 and 9 are all 7-7 teams trying to get in to the playoffs. And things like that. Same thing happening over in the NFC now as well. The Rams are 7-7. They're in. New Orleans is 7-7. They're on the outside. So this game that they're playing tonight is going to be huge as far as who gets to make the playoffs, because the Rams don't have a snowball's chance in hell of catching the 49ers right now, because the Niners clinched the division this past weekend on Sunday. So, you know, and then like I mentioned, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh traded spots in the AFC playoff race over the weekend. With Cincy's win over Minnesota, Pittsburgh's loss to Indianapolis, Pittsburgh dropped out of the playoffs entirely, and Cincy went from out to being number 6 ahead of the Colts. So, yeah, and then the Bills are still at 8-6 trying to fight their way in, and basically all they have to do is not mess up, because they've got some fairly easy games ahead of them. Or at least these next two. They got the Chargers this week. They have the Patriots next week, who they lost to earlier this season. And then you have the Miami Dolphins to wrap up the year, the rematch in Miami this time. So, yeah, the Bills are a team that I want to see in the playoffs right now. So I'm really rooting for them because I think that can only mean good things for the AFC playoff race as far as how fun and exciting those games are going to be to watch. But the Bills, every year, good team, bad team, great team, awful team, they always have these losses in there that they can't explain. Right now, they have at least two that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. The first one was that loss in New England when they lost to the Patriots. They score a game-winning touchdown and then let Mac Jones, of all people, drive down the field for their game-winning touchdown, and they lose in New England. And then the Monday night game against the Broncos, where I famously said it's not that they couldn't get out of their own way, it's that they wouldn't. With the 12 men on field, the pass interference to set up the field goal attempt, the whole nine yards. Like those two games right there, if they just win those two games, they're 10-4 and they're in first place in the NFC East ahead of the Dolphins because they have the tiebreaker. But it's like those two losses, the teams that they were way better than, that's the reason they're 8-6 outside of the playoffs still fighting their way in. So yeah, I'm rooting for the Bills to get in because I think they can be a serious problem for everyone in the AFC. It's like everyone in the AFC is rooting for the Bills to drop one of these games to the Chargers or the Patriots over the next couple of weeks. That would just make it that much harder for them to get in to the postseason. So, and then you got teams like Indianapolis who are inexplicably 8-6 right now. And like I mentioned, 6-8, Atlanta is only one game behind New Orleans and Tampa Bay in the NFC South right now. You know, the Panthers play the Packers this weekend, and I'm just hoping that, you know, as much as I hate rooting for the Packers, I'm hoping that they win so the Bears hang on to that number one pick, you know, this season. You know, the Bears and the Cardinals play on Sunday, and 3-11 and 5-9 isn't exactly fuel for excitement, but we'll find a way to give a shit on Sunday. Just want to see the Bears win, man. I really do, so... Anyway, we got tons to talk about. We're going to get through our supersized all-out blitz because, again, there was really only four games that kind of intrigued me as far as going in-depth on the pick sixes. Detroit at Minnesota, Cleveland at Houston, Dallas at Miami, and Baltimore at San Francisco. I mean, talk about a heavyweight matchup. It's the last game of the week. It's the Christmas night matchup on Monday night. That's going to be fun. So let's go ahead and get started. And as we do in all of our preview episodes, we begin with the All-Out Blitz. Week 16 All-Out Blitz. We start on Thursday Night Football, the Saints at the Rams. The Rams have won 4 of 5 and currently hold the 7th seed in the NFC, while the Saints need a win to keep pace in the NFC South. I like the Rams. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. The Steelers have lost 4 of 5 and appear to be bottoming out, while the Bengals have won 3 in a row, and a win gets them one step closer to clinching the playoff spot they already have. Give me the Bengals. Buffalo at the Chargers. The Bills are having a late season resurgence after 2 straight wins, and now is not the time for a misset. Come on, Buffalo, win this one for me. Indianapolis at Atlanta. Desmond Ridder has been benched yet again to try to get the Falcons' offense going. Meanwhile, Shane Steichen and his Colts are in the playoffs right now and need a win to stay there. Give me the Colts. Seattle at Tennessee. The Seahawks are riding high after their comeback win over Philly on Monday Night Football, and the Titans are in the way of them getting back in the playoff race. Give me the Seahawks. Washington at the Jets. It's this week's Tank Bowl where neither fan base wants their team to win for better draft position. I think the Commanders fan base are going to get their wish here. Give me the Jets. Green Bay at Carolina. Both of Carolina's win came on last-second field goals at home. Hopefully Green Bay can do better so my Bears keep the number one pick. Give me the Packers, begrudgingly. Jacksonville at Tampa Bay. A late-season battle between first-place South teams. Who gets the win and hangs on to their division lead? I like the Jaguars here. Arizona at Chicago. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals come to Chicago fresh off their loss to the 49ers, while the Bears are in search of redemption after another choke job last week. I don't like it, but give me the Bears. New England at Denver. At this point, the Patriots are just running out the string, while the Broncos still have slim playoff hopes to play for. Give me the Broncos. Vegas at Kansas City. It's odd that we go into a Chiefs game where their offense isn't the one to worry about. Can the Raiders get anywhere near to what they did last week against the Chargers? I don't think so. Give me the Chiefs. Giants at Philadelphia. Philly lost three straight and really needs a win here. And they have three easy games in front of them. All they have to do is be themselves and win. Give me Philly. And there you go, guys. Week 16, all-out blitz, all 12 games. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week, man, because the playoff races are tightening up. And like I said, for a majority of this season, we've kind of been, you know, I don't want to say belittling, but, you know, really getting after the NFL because we're not seeing really great football. You know, there's a lot of mid teams out there. But, you know, here it is as we're getting to the into the stretch run here. We're in the last quarter of the season. It's making for some really interesting situations going into these last 3 weeks. I mean, I can't wait to see what we're looking at next week or even, God forbid, week 18, which is usually a throwaway week for a lot of teams. I feel like there's going to be a lot on the line going into week 18 with the way that everything is setting up right now. So for all the guff we want to give the NFL for how unimpressive some of the football has been, and, you know, there's a lot of 500 or worse teams in the league, like I said, it's leveling out and it's making for some really interesting playoff situations here in the last few weeks of the season. So, yeah, it's working out, basically, is what I'm saying. It all kind of worked out. So, yeah, so that's your all-out blitz. Let's go ahead and get into this week's pick six and the four big games for week 16. Pick six for week number 16. It depresses me that it's already week 16. You know, Christmas is on Monday. The big holiday weekend is this weekend. We got New Year's the week after that. Then the season is over. Then, you know, most of the teams are done. And then we get the playoff run. And there's Super Bowl will be here before you know it. And the season will be over. And then it'll be 6 months of sadness before the preseason comes around again. Not looking forward to that at all. It's the longest offseason in sports. And even though the NFL stays pretty active with free agency and all the draft talk and everything in between, it's like once the draft is over, I always call it the vast wasteland between the draft and the start of preseason. That's like the longest 6-7 weeks of the year. And it's only 6 or 7 weeks, but it's like all the waiting and leading up to the draft and then the draft finally here. And it's euphoria for a couple of days while we go through for the weekend, for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday of the weekend. It's nothing but football, and we're talking about football and who our new players are and all that kind of stuff. And then you get to the day after the draft, and it's like, an OTA start, but we don't get to watch and root during OTAs and things like that. It's just, you know, hopefully we're getting a late off-season trade or a signing for that veteran who didn't sign with anyone during free agency. And yeah, then it just it gets ugly after that. So, but nonetheless, here we are, pick six for week number 16. We start with Detroit at Minnesota. It's the first matchup of the year. There are at least two that I know of that this is the case, because Detroit and Minnesota are playing right now, or not right now, but this week in week 16, and then they play again week 18, which means they went virtually the entire season without playing each other. And they'll play twice in the last 3 weeks. The Giants and the Eagles are doing the exact same thing. The Giants and the Eagles are the early game on Monday afternoon before the Baltimore 49er game for the nightcap. And then they'll play again week 18 to finish off the season. It's like I didn't notice if there was one of those on the AFC side or anything like that, but there are two on the NFC side, and this is one of them, and these are games that the Vikings have to have, and you wonder if that will change their approach at all. Nick Mullins is going to be the quarterback once again, so it's not like after a one-week slap on the wrist, Josh Dobbs gets his job back. Nope, it's going to be Nick Mullins for the foreseeable future. You got Jaren Hall as the backup. So right now, Dobbs went from being the man to being the emergency guy that only plays if the first two quarterbacks have to get hurt for Josh Dobbs to find his way onto the field. And last week, the Lions rebounded from their loss in Chicago by dismantling the Broncos. It was a quiet first quarter, and then six of their next seven drives, they scored touchdowns to make it an easy 42-17 win over the Broncos. The Vikings came up just short in Cincinnati in overtime thanks to a couple of Mullins interceptions in that one, which didn't really affect much of the end of the game, but really killed scoring opportunities early in the game. The Vikings were up 17-3 at one point in this football game, and instead they should have been up something in the area of 24-31-3 for the opportunities that were spoiled by the interceptions that Mullins threw in that first half. So, yeah, bad. Never a good time to turn over the football, but when you're on the doorstep and then you turn the football over, those tend to hurt more than regular turnovers. So, yeah, it's for that one, those were tough. But what was surprising me is that I was looking things over here, and the Lions are 10-4, and they're a team that's just as good at home as they are on the road. They're 5-2 in both locations. 5-2 on the road, 5-2 at home. The Vikings are 7-7, and they're actually better on the road than they are at home. They're 5-3 on the road. So that game in Detroit, you know, will be contested. But they're 2-4 at home this season. And so the Vikings are usually a really good home team. And this year they have been anything but. You know, they've lost games, to the Bears at home. They lost early in the season to the Chargers. You know, things like these are some bad losses going forward. And, like I said, usually the Dome is a very scary place to go and play the Vikings in U.S. Bank Stadium and whatnot, but not so far this year. And this is a game the Vikings have if they want that Week 18 matchup to mean anything. So, because if they lose this one, then they are four games back with two to play. Right now, they're three back with three to play. And, if they lose, then the Vikings are 7-8, the Lions are 11-4, and then the Vikings are just praying that someone will fall in the playoffs, that people ahead of them in the 6-7 seed in the NFC fall apart behind them. So, I think the Vikings are still in right now. Let me pull that up real quick in the playoff standings in the NFC. Yeah, the Vikings are 6 right now. But with the Rams at 7-7, the Seahawks at 7-7, the Saints at 7-7, none of those teams are playing each other this weekend. Well, actually, the Rams and the Saints are playing each other, so that one could be big. They're playing each other tonight on Thursday. But the Seahawks are – who are the Seahawks playing? I just talked about it in the Blitz. The Seahawks are playing the Titans. So it's like this is they're all in a position here that there's not going to be a lot of room for error. The Vikings lose this weekend, they're going to be out of the playoff race. They're going to be on the outside looking in with a losing record. And let's see, they're 5-4 in the conference, so they'll be 5-5. They can't afford to lose. So that Saints-Rams game is huge tonight. And they could be behind teams like the Falcons and the Packers, who are both playing winnable games this weekend. I mean, hell, the Packers are playing the most winnable game. They're playing Carolina this weekend. And despite being 8-6, the Colts are no juggernaut or anything like that. And the game is in Atlanta where the Falcons play their best football. I know I picked the Colts, but the Falcons are not, writing that one off at all. So, it's like the Vikings could go from being the 6th seed to falling way back in the playoff seeds and come down to tiebreakers and stuff like that just to be the next team on the outside right now. So it's a really touchy situation. The Vikings, never mind winning the division, the Vikings need this game just to stay in the playoffs. because they're in right now, but one loss could jettison. They could be the Steelers of week 16, where it's like, hey, we're the sixth seed. We're, you know, there's a team behind us in the playoff race right now, but you mess around and lose this game, and all of a sudden you've got four teams ahead of you before you can make the playoffs again. That's the kind of situation the Vikings are looking at if they come up short in this game. So, and I think the Vikings have a better shot than a lot of people think, you know, especially with the way the Lions played last weekend. They were pissed and they went and they took it out on the Broncos. They hadn't been playing good defense for the last month. You know, the two games against the Bears, they gave up 26 plus points in both games. Even in a winning effort against the Saints, they gave up 28 points in that one. So it was a game where they had to hang on at the end. The offense has been doing fine. It's the defense that's been kind of worrisome. The good news is, despite having explosive opportunities and good players with Addison and Hockenson, they're running the ball fairly well. They have a good offensive line. It really is going to come down to how well Nick Mullins plays and how well he manages this this offense. And the key for them is to stay on the field, to eat up as much clock as humanly possible, to give the Lions as few chances and as few time, as little time, to move the ball down the field. Because they themselves, with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Montgomery and Gibbs in the backfield, Sam LaPorta is having an outstanding rookie year, and they probably have, at the worst, the second-best offensive line in our division in the NFC North. It could be a close matchup, especially with it being on the road and everything. You're going to get that Minnesota Skol crowd going on Sunday. I'm excited to check this one out. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be going on the same time as the Bear game, so I won't be able. No, actually, what am I saying? The Bears play at 3 on Sunday, so yeah, I'll probably be able to check this one out. And that's if it isn't a is it a Saturday game? No, it's a noon kickoff on. The Saturday games are Cincy and Pittsburgh. And Buffalo and the Chargers. Those are the Saturday games. And then everything else is Sunday. So Vikings-Lions, that's noon on Sunday, or at least noon here in the Midwest. So, yeah, that'll be the one that I'm watching on Sunday for sure, just to see. Because I'm also, thanks to my good friend Jeremy Reisman, I'm living vicariously through the Lions at this point. With the Bears 5 games back of Detroit at 5-9, you know, it's like we still have a 0.01 chance to make the playoffs, but that's if literally everything else goes wrong for everyone in front of us, and the Bears have to keep winning. So that's the one thing the Bears haven't been able to do this season, is to sustain a winning culture. So we find ways to gloriously lose football games and everything. So, but I think it'll be a tough one. But I do like the Lions to win on Sunday against the Vikings. Cleveland at Houston. This is a game in Houston where the Texans have surprisingly, a few weeks ago, I would have told you that the Texans are better at home than they are on the road. But the Texans are like the Lions. They're 8-6, and they're 4-3 on the road. They're 4-3 at home. The key here is the Browns are 9-5, but they are 8-1 at home, which means they are 1-4 on the road so far this season. Or maybe is it 7-1? 7-1, so they're 2-4 on the road this season. So 4 of their 5 losses have come at another people's buildings. And right now, C.J. Stroud is not expected to play, still dealing with that concussion from the Jets game 2 weeks ago. So that must have been a hell of a hit. So no Stroud, Nico Collins, or Will Anderson versus Tennessee this past Sunday. So keeping an eye on the injury report as we get closer to the game is key. You know, the Browns defense will cause all kinds of problems, especially if it's not the nimble and pocket escape-y C.J. Stroud back there. Case Keenum is a veteran. He's seen a lot of fire. He's been in big games, you know, whether it was with the Vikings or anybody else. He's done well, and he's bounced around a lot in this league. He's seen and done a lot. I don't know if he'll be able to handle this this pass rush from the Browns. The Bears just barely, you know, Fields only got sacked twice in the game, and God bless him, Case Keenum is no Justin Fields as far as being able to scramble and, you know, flee the pocket and things like that. I mean, I like the Browns in this one, but this game was intriguing to me because the Browns are such a good football team, but have found ways to lose football games on the road this year. And you know, some of the games that they've lost, let me pull up their schedule here real quick. Yeah, losing at the Broncos, that's not pretty. They lost to Seattle, not the easiest place to win football games, but, you know, they lost that first game at the Steelers in week two where they lost Nick Chubb. They gave that game away more than the Steelers won it. That was the one where the Brown defense held the Steelers offense to 12 points, but the defense scored 14 points because of a pick six and a scoop and score by T.J. Watt. In that one, that's how the Bengals or the Browns lost that first matchup to the Steelers, and you know, and oh, that was preseason. I was like, man, they lost to the Commanders, but then they lost back-to-back games to the Broncos and the Rams. Not the worst losses, because both of those teams are 500 teams that are either in the playoffs in the Rams' case, or like the Broncos knocking on the door for the playoffs. So the losses themselves haven't been ugly. It's just that, you know, even the Steelers, 7-7, they haven't gone out and done what the like the Texans, who've lost games on the road to the Panthers and the Jets, who are losing football teams that otherwise, you know, would have lost to just about anybody else on those days and everything. It's not that these are bad losses. It's just that being on the road seems to be some kind of disadvantage for the Browns. And here they are going into Houston against a team that's only a game behind them in the playoffs right now, but it's also a team that is fighting to get in. Houston's on the outside of the playoff race right now. Houston is the 8 seed. They're the first team in right now. So yeah, this is huge for them. They are one of the four teams at 8-6. Cincy at 6, Colts at 7. Houston is the 8 seed and Buffalo is the 9 at 8-6. And both of these teams, if they win, could likely be in the playoffs trying to keep other teams out for the final 2 weeks of the year. So this is a huge, huge game for the Texans, but they could likely be going into this one extremely shorthanded. If Nico Collins and Will Anderson don't make an appearance in this one, and C.J. Stroud doesn't have some kind of miraculous turnaround in the next couple of days, it could be rough, and that's why I like the Browns in this one. Flacco is playing inspired football right now for somebody who was on his couch 4 weeks ago. The defense was outstanding against the Bears last week, which isn't extremely hard to do, but they were tenacious throughout. They shut the Bears out in the fourth quarter, really shut down. Actually, they kind of shut down the offense, period, because the touchdown that the offense scored on their own was thanks to a pick six from our defense, where we started at the one-yard line, and even we made that look impossible. Our only scoring drive led to a field goal, and don't even get me started on the two field goals that Eberflus passed on to go for it or go for a Hail Mary or whatever. We still should have won that game. Mooney dropped don't get me started. Anyway, I just like the Browns. I love their defense. This is the time of year where defenses kind of start to take over. So give me the Browns over the Texans, although don't count the Texans out. They shouldn't have won last week in Tennessee, and they found a way to get it done, even being extremely shorthanded. Dallas at Miami. This game is extremely interesting, and not just because it's two 10-4 teams, but because it's the team that is terrible on the road, a.k.a. Dallas, versus the team that struggles against winning teams, a.k.a. Miami. So while Miami's at home and they've only lost one game on the road, one game at home all season, that Monday nighter against the Tennessee Titans, which no one can really explain what the hell happened other than they just fell apart. And then you have the Cowboys, who are 8-0 at home, but 2-4 on the road, including 3-4 on the road, including the savage beating at the hands of the Bills last weekend. And why that was so important is that, honestly, with Mike McDonald, the head coach of the Dolphins, being as smart a guy as he is and such a shrewd play caller, he's got to be drooling over that Buffalo tape, because Buffalo practically ignored the passing game in that football game with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and the other the two awesome Knox and Kincaid that they have at tight end. And the star of the football game was James Cook, who ran for 179 yards en route to over 250 yards rushing against the Cowboys. And, you know, Mike McDonald just happens to have Raheem Mostert, who scored 20 touchdowns so far this season, and Achan, the running back, who's also, is honestly probably a better running back than Mostert has been this season. So far more explosive as far as big plays and everything. So he doesn't have just one James Cook. He's got two. And an offensive line that has been good at opening the holes. It's like, if I would not be surprised to see a similar stat line than Josh Allen. Josh Allen was like 9 of 17 for 95 yards and a touchdown. You would think that if you looked at that stat line, that the Bills must have gotten killed if Allen only had 95 yards passing in the game. No way they won. No, they won by 3 touchdowns, 31-10. This game wasn't close. It never was, because they just ran the ball straight down Dallas's throat the entire game. And like I said, while Miami is kind of like the Cowboys of the AFC, where they don't really have any wins against winning football teams this season, it's not their fault. And same thing for the Cowboys. It's not their fault they have a weak schedule in front of them, but it is certainly their fault that they can't seem to step up against the big guns. But let's see, the 4 losses for the Dolphins. Buffalo Bills in week 4, 48-20. Big blowout there. Loss at the Eagles, 31-17. Okay. They lost to the Chiefs. That was over in London. That was technically a home game, but it's not. So they were the home team in their one, but it's nobody's at home in that one. It's just, so it goes against their home record, but I'm not counting it against their home record. But that's to the Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champions. And then the only bad loss of the 4 was that Monday nighter in Miami 2 weeks ago to the Titans, where they had the 14-point lead in the final minute of the game and somehow managed to lose it. And their wins, they have 2 against the Jets, Commanders, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Panthers, the Giants, the Broncos, and the other Patriots. They beat the Patriots twice, and the Chargers. So, not a winning team in the bunch. Not one. Except for the Broncos, who are a 500 team. Everybody else is a losing team. That's not their fault, but it is what it is. The stats, in this case, the stats don't lie. So, Miami's next 3 games are all against winning teams. The Cowboys this week, the Bills next week, the Cowboys this week, the Ravens next week, and the Bills to close out the season. So, yeah, these last 3 games are a bitch for the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Bills. Meanwhile, the Cowboys are terrible on the road. They are 3-4 on the road this season. Their 3 road wins are against lousy football teams, as we mentioned before, until they beat the Seahawks a couple of weeks ago. They hadn't beat a winning team all season, but they beat Seattle in Dallas. They beat the Philly a couple weeks ago in Dallas. And now they're going on the road, and their big road wins this season are against the Giants, atrocious, the Chargers, atrocious, Carolina, the definition of atrocious. So the only thing good about these wins is that they do what you're supposed to do when you're a good football team and you're playing a bad one. They won huge. Against the Giants and the Panthers, it was combined, 82-14 or something crazy like that. And the Chargers was a Well, the Chargers weren't a bad football team at the time. They were, I think, a 500 team when they played, and they won that one 20-17. So they just got by against the Chargers. But, you know, of the, you know, we talked about Miami's losses and everything. So it's, I love the Dolphins in this game. I really do. Not just because it's a road team, but because the Dolphins can easily do what Buffalo did. Because you were, that's the thing. It was like, you weren't expecting that from Buffalo. You were expecting Buffalo. It's going to be Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, the tight ends. Maybe you sprinkle in some runs here and there. But Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, just noticed. And he did what all great play callers do. Is like, hey, man, I'm going to keep running this until you guys figure out how to stop it. It's like, give me a reason to call a passing play. Because he didn't have to. He called something like 40 runs against the Cowboys. And James Cook became an overnight sensation, running for 180 yards in that football game. And Josh Allen, who's the biggest, who's the face of the franchise, the star of that team, was an afterthought in that game. 9 of 17, 95 yards and a touchdown. This, come on. You throw for 95 yards, your team got their asses kicked, not the other way around. I mean, they absolutely dominated. And when they want to go to the passing game, they have, hopefully, a healthy Tyreek Hill. He missed that game against the Jets on Sunday with the ankle injury. But they also have Jalen Waddle and Braxton Berrios, and you know, that's when they want to throw the ball. They have Tua, who's one of the most accurate passers in football right now, and that's if they just run a, get away from Mostert and Achan just ramming the ball down Dallas's throat. I am very much looking forward to this game. The Dolphins need to make a statement that they're for real, and I think by beating the Cowboys, that would be a solid statement made. So I like the Dolphins here. I just think the Cowboys didn't have an answer for Buffalo's running game, and the Dolphins' running game is vastly superior to Buffalo's. So, yeah, I like the Dolphins big time here. And then finally, the big main event of the entire week, the Monday night matchup. It's Baltimore at San Francisco, both the top seed in their respective conferences. Is this a Super Bowl preview? The conspiracy theorists who believe that there's an NFL script out there somewhere keep going crazy over the fact that the NFL Super Bowl logo is purple and red. And what are the primary colors of these two teams that are playing on Sunday? Purple and red. So they have, because last year's Super Bowl logo was green and red, and it was the Chiefs and the Eagles, and, you know, so that's, of course, how that's supposed to work out. So yeah, it's already been preordained. It's going to be Baltimore and San Francisco, and that's what the NFL script conspiracy theorists would have you believe. But it's a major matchup for the Ravens, with Miami coming up next week, which could be for the top seed in the NFC going into Week 18. Meanwhile, this is just a tough matchup for San Francisco before they finish up with Washington and the Rams after this. So this very much will be a whoever makes the fewest mistakes wins kind of football game, because both teams are advantageous teams that will make you pay for mistakes. And they are both good enough to make you pay for every mistake that you make. That's how savage the 49ers have been the last 6 weeks. They won. They were 5-0. They were easily the best team in the league the first month and a half. And then they went on a three-game losing streak that no one could quite figure out. And obviously the big problems there were that the 49ers, the efficient, very clean 49ers, started turning over the football. Brock Purdy fumbling the football, throwing multiple interceptions, and they go on a three-game losing streak into their bye week. But ever since they come out of the bye week, I think I counted four turnovers over the last 6 weeks. Something like that. Or four interceptions from Purdy over the last 6 weeks. And obviously none of them have been killers, because the 49ers have dominated those six games to easily come away with the wins there. So they're the home team this week. And I like the 49ers. I do. The Ravens, of these two teams, the Ravens are far shakier of the two. They've managed to eke out wins, And, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, they probably should have lost to the Rams, but they were the never say die team. They came back, they sent it to overtime, and then they won it in overtime on the punt return to win the game. But this has been a team that you could easily argue, instead of being 11-3, maybe they should be 8-6, if not for a few breaks. You know, like the football gods have definitely been on their side this season. Let's run through their schedule real quick and take a look. That loss week 3 to the Colts, they should have won that game. They lost to Gardner Minshew in that one. You know, that game against the Steelers. Now, granted, that was in Pittsburgh, but that was the game where they had that one in hand, and they just couldn't get out of their own way as far as delivering the killer blow that would have put the Steelers away. Next thing you know, Kenny Pickett finds George Pickens for a touchdown, and they've got the lead, and they walk away with the win there. You had that win against the Cardinals a few weeks ago, 31-24, way more exciting than you should in a game against one of the worst teams in the league this year. But they rebounded with a 37-3 trashing of the Seahawks the following week. Then they had that collapse against the Browns a few weeks ago. They, had to pull away late against the Chargers. Then you have the Rams game. So this is a team that seems a little bit more vulnerable, although they're also the most resilient team in the league, because these games, and I'm really reaching for examples here, but even in these examples, these are games where, you know, in the end, the Ravens did what was needed. This is not a team that, is like others where, oh, well, if they weren't getting all the calls, no way they win this game. You don't hear that about the Ravens and, you know, their good fortune when they managed to win a football game. It was like, man, John Harbaugh just kept his guys in the fight, and they went out there and they won the football game. So I don't count the Ravens out. This is likely going to be another one of those games where it's like, oh, maybe I put like 4 points on the 49ers in the confidence game and everything. But, I'm definitely picking the 49ers. They're the home team, and I just feel like they are playing just outstanding lights-out football. But I won't be surprised if I wake up Tuesday morning and find out that the Ravens won this game. So it'll definitely be an interesting review episode. I just kind of want to put it out there now that, by the way, let me do this real quick. I'm taking the 49ers on Monday night. Back to what I was trying to say is that because of the holiday, I'm not going to do an in-depth review episode next week. It's like I may, do some commentary in the opening segment or anything, but next week and maybe the following week, week 17's review episode, and this is my plan right now because Monday is Christmas, that I likely won't put the episode out until, midday on Tuesday. And maybe I'll do a full-blown episode, but right now I'm leaning towards just doing, some commentary for, early on with just some comments like I did at the start of this show, and then all-out blitz so I can get back to the family and celebrating the holiday and all that kind of stuff. So just want to give you a heads up. Don't be surprised if Tuesday's review episode isn't as in-depth as regular episodes. So it's the holidays, so don't want to work too hard on the holidays. And one of the games that we're featuring is the Monday night game. So we'll see. But I'm not going to record the episode until likely Tuesday morning, so it won't be there first thing like it usually is. So just keep an eye on it for, midday, late morning, early afternoon. The episode should drop, and it may just be an all-out blitz episode. So anyway, guys, happy holidays. Enjoy the weekend. Like I said, we got some really interesting games coming up this weekend. The Pick'em game is all but wrapped up, which means that right now I'm just fighting to get back into the top 10. I'm number 11 right now, trying to get back into the top 10 of my own goddamn Pick'em game, and you guys are making it impossible. So screw all you guys. But I love you all for playing. It's been really fun keeping track of all of that and everything. And come back tomorrow on Friday when we have the Bears-Cardinals preview. Joe Como from the Cardinal Rule podcast will be joining us to preview the matchup and what we can expect from the Bears and Cardinals in Soldier Field on Sunday. So come back for that tomorrow. And if not, enjoy your holidays. We'll talk to you soon. My name is Larry D. This has been The Fourth Phase, and we will see you next time.